Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I just didn't shut up about it. Every day I was on the case. I said, this is unacceptable. My life is being impacted by the way that my bike is being parked. I can't access my bike as easily as I should be able to. I can't go around my daily life because I need my bike to move around. Yeah. And from that point onwards, the pressure mounted, and then the council eventually, months and months down the line, did what we're celebrating today.
Hello and welcome to Streets Ahead, your podcast dedicated to cycling, walking and wheeling in the UK and beyond. I'm Laura Laker, and I've once again been adventuring without Adam and Ned. This time I travelled to North London on my pink electric bike. So in January, the UK's first cargo bike hangar appeared just north of Regent's Park. It was installed for Westminster City Council. You may be familiar with the semi-cylindrical bike hangers that take the place of a car parking space. They provide secure and covered cycle parking all around London and increasingly beyond. Well, last year, Cycle Hoop, the company behind the bike hangers, came up with a limousine version of the design, as company founder Tony Lau describes it, especially for cargo and adaptive cycles. Cargo cycles are growing in popularity in London. For an increasing number of families, they replace a family car, carrying anything from kids to tools to large musical instruments. Thieves are, sadly, beginning to understand their value too, because prices range from £2,300 for a new basic long-tail bike to around £8,000 for a high-spec model. A lack of secure parking is seen as a major barrier to families and individuals buying and keeping one, as not only are they pricier, they often cannot be lifted upstairs or even fit into most hallways. Suami Rocha, who we heard from in our Cycle Instructors on Strike episode, is very excited about this cargo cycle hanger, and as I discover, he will in fact get to use it personally. So Suami arranged a big ride around the local neighbourhood to celebrate it. I joined the ride partway along, with around 50 people by my estimation. I unfortunately suffered some recording hiccups, so the opening ceremony, as it were, was deleted. But I did get some great interviews with lots of folks who came to celebrate this milestone in London's cycling revolution. So here we go. I'm here with Will Norman at the launch of the new cargo bike hanger. Will, why did you come all the way to North London to open this cargo bike hangar?
Well, one, I wanted to come and see it personally. Yeah. I've heard so much about it.
Yeah.
No, really, we're seeing a huge growth in cycling across London. We've almost quadrupled the cycle network since Sadiq became mayor. And with that, we've seen this huge explosion in numbers. I think 1.26 million journeys every day on average by bike across the city. So it's a major, major form of transport now. We're no longer... Nobody can say it's a minority hobby for a few people. It's actually, you know, that's a third of all tube journeys. That's a quarter of all bus journeys. It's on the map. But as we've seen this growth, we need to actually accommodate and make sure that it works for all Londoners. So that's people with who need to carry their families around, maybe people who've got disabilities and need adaptive bikes, people who are using them for moving goods around. We're seeing the growth of cargo bikes. And clearly people need secure places to put them. So while we continue to invest in bike parking and we continue to do the bike hangers that everybody's familiar with and everybody wants more of, we need to see more of these type of things actually catering for a more diverse group of cyclists.
Yeah, and I was reading that London Cycle Design Standards, London Plan, 5% of all cycle parking, is your aim is to have it be accessible, which means larger, I guess, Sheffield stands and larger cargo bike hangers. It's quite an ambitious ask. Is it achievable?
It will be achievable. You know, we're on a journey. We've seen the change in the number of people cycling. We need to make it. We've stated so many times now since we launched our Cycle Action Plan 2, and actually we need to cater for the diversity of London's communities. That's ultimately our city's greatest strength, and we need to provide for those communities. So this is part of the plan. It's going to take time. It works. It's in partnership with the boroughs. So obviously, you know, there's always a shortage of money in these things, but, you know, this is a priority for us. And we know that access to bike parking is one of the biggest barriers for stopping more people use their bikes more.
Yeah, and fear of theft. Obviously, cargo bikes are expensive machines.
Oh, most definitely. And that's why it's so important that you have the secure bike parking. But there's more that needs to be done on that. People need to make sure that they register their bikes, they use the right locks. We're working closely with the police to look at how can we do more to stop the onward resale of stolen bikes, etc., etc. So that's a whole other sort of piece of work of actually how do we make sure that bike theft doesn't continue to grow in the city too.
Yeah, and most of the London roads are owned by the boroughs. How on board are they, in your experience?
So you're right, 95% of London roads are run by the boroughs. You'll see, you know, just from the sheer magnitude of the cycle network growing, you know, boroughs are on board with this. They've got, you know, people want bike hangers, they need to write to their councils and ask for them. The more those letters go in, the more demand there is shown from the boroughs. And so we continue to fund the boroughs. The boroughs are interested in doing this, and I think it's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, great, thank you. And I don't know if we should tell the story about my friend Kunal, who I had lunch with yesterday.
Well, I was cycling along one of the bike routes and I saw a wallet, and I know how annoying it is. My son, who's 16, regularly loses his wallet, and I know how annoying it is to replace travel cards, bank cards, you know, people having to replace driving licenses, ID, etc. So I found the wallet, I saw it, and I thought, oh, you know, I'll get in touch with this guy. I think he was a member of the London Cycling Campaign, or I can't remember how I got in touch with him, but anyway, I got in touch with him. He and I met up and gave him his wallet back, because I know how annoying it is. All part of the service, Laura.
All part of the service.
Not just building bike lanes, but if I will do lost property too.
Nice one. Thank you, Will.
Take care.
Suami, who's been on the podcast already, about because you're a cycle instructor, You have been driving this kind of a fan event for the cargo cycle hangar. Why are you so excited about it?
I live around the corner from here.
God, so it's literally you. That's why you're so excited about it.
Yeah, this is I was the first resident, and for this is great radio because you can't see, but I'm showing Laura my hangar key, which says CB, which I think is cargo bike, 001.
Wow.
Which is the 001 shows the ambitions of Westminster Council to produce hundreds and hundreds of these keys. So I'm the proud owner of the key, and it was handed to me by Councillor Max Sullivan a few weeks ago. So I'm the first user of a hangar of this kind.
So you've been using it now for weeks, several weeks?
I've been using it for about 2-3 weeks now. The hangar was installed earlier this year, late last year, and it's been fantastic. It's transformed my life. It means that my partner can come here and take the turn and then just use it for her own, you know. Before our parking arrangement, it meant that I have to store it upright in a very tiny storage space, 10 minutes walk away.
In where? Whose cupboard was it?
It was a storage in the basement of a block of flats that I pay the council rent to use as storage for that they provide for residents, which also took me a lot of fighting for to get that little cupboard.
Why?
Because there is a huge waiting list.
Are they bike storage or is it pram sheds?
No, so they look like pram sheds, but it's usually for the residents of a particular building. Mm. They have a little shed. Council states they have that up and down the country. But their waiting list is huge, so people keep their personal belongings in there. I've made it so that my Turn GSD could fit just about if he was standing upright, without the child seat, without anything on it, with everything, all the accessories off.
Oh, wow. So you had to dismantle it, basically.
Basically dismantle it. And it would take me about half an hour each day in the morning to get it out.
Oh, my God.
And then half an hour to put it back. Wow. So, and my partner couldn't do that. And when I injured my hand a few months ago, I couldn't do that. And my bike was left outside my flat for a few nights. And people targeted it and causing hundreds of pounds worth of damage. And that was the turning point, because at that point, I was pressuring the council for a cargo hanger. And then from that point, with the police report, I just didn't shut up about it. Mm. Every day, I was on the case. I said, this is unacceptable. Mm. My life is being impacted by the way that my bike is being parked. I can't access my bike as easily as I should be able to. I can't go around my daily life because I need my bike to move around. Yeah. There are days that I don't use it when I really should be using it. Mm. And from that point onwards, the pressure mounted, and then the council eventually, months and months down the line, did what we're celebrating today. So I'm so happy.
Swami, you're such a hero, because you're helping the cycle instructors. You just don't let things go, do you? If you see an injustice, you're going to try and fix it. You're one of those people. It's amazing.
Yeah. Thanks, Laura. I appreciate the words. But yeah, I believe if we stick together, we can achieve great things.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Well, I hope you enjoy your hanger and the extra hour you now have every day that you use.
It's
incredible.
It takes me a few minutes to walk here. I can put the hanger. It's not awkward. The bike is as I need it the next day, and it's just fantastic. It's so nice. I can sleep at night. I don't have to worry about leaving the bike outside. There are loads and loads and loads of people out there in a similar situation that I was, and people who don't yet own a cargo bike or a cargo cycle or an adapted cycle, and they could, and they are not being presented with those opportunities. So here I want my community to see what's possible. I want them to try out. That's why the try the bike is important here. And have a go and see. Maybe it's not for them, but it will be for a lot of families.
Yeah, and it'll make the difference maybe between someone getting a bike and not getting a bike. And have you got a neighbor who's also using the cargo thing, or is it just you at the moment?
The other space has been offered to a nurse, an NHS nurse, who now parks her bike inside the hangar. So hopefully that shows that there is demand, and the council can then continue with the trial, make it permanent, and install more.
Fantastic. Suwami, thank you.
Thanks, Laura. Thank you. I appreciate it.
So, Isabel Clement, you've been on the podcast before. You were one of our earlier guests, I believe. It was quite a while ago now.
A long time ago, yes.
And you're here with your hand cycle, which I have
just dismounted to show people how the transformation works.
It's quite a fantastic bit of kit. Could you talk us through it?
Yes, so I'm sitting in my wheelchair comfortably, and then when I want to go cycling, I wheel up to my hand cycle, which then clips onto the frame of my bike, and I push up and lift I lift my casters off the ground, and then I become a tricycle. And it's so much easier than pushing the wheelchair along, along the footway. I go on the road, and London's is there for me to enjoy.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And we've been on a ride together, and you do get quite a good turn of speed on it. It's quite a fantastic bit of kit.
Oh, yeah. Well, assuming the road is of good enough quality and I can actually get some speed rather than going stop, start, stop, start all the way. There are little bits of infrastructure where I actually can get a bit of speed. I'm really enjoying going home from work I work in Brixton, and I don't live far away, 2.5 miles. But on the way back up, when it's not actually that busy, I take the bus lane on the Brixton Road. And I can actually get a little bit of exercise, proper, effort. My heart is beating for a good amount of time. And it's very rare, I find, because, generally I have to watch just what's in front of my wheel, avoid the bits of dug-up patchwork of tarmac, etc., etc. So, the speed is reliant not on me, not on my e-assist, it's reliant on the quality of the infrastructure.
Yeah, and I've witnessed you negotiating the road, and it's quite eye-opening seeing how differently it affects you. And another big issue is where to store the kit, isn't it? Which is why we're here today with this cargo bike hanger. Do you want to tell us about how much of an issue it is for people to store kind of non-standard cycles?
Absolutely. The Wheels for Wellbeing team have ridden here with about five different cycles and five different cyclists, and those are our cycles. We store them at Herne Hill, but one of the many barriers to people actually investing in one of these bits of kit, which will set you back a good $5,000, $6,000, $4,000, whatever, is where are they going to store it at home? It needs to be very secure when you've spent that kind of money, and it needs to be completely accessible. And generally, there's never enough cycle storage, but also a lot of the cycle hangers are just not accessible to a wider recumbent trike or a long tandem or et cetera, et cetera.
Because for anyone who hasn't seen them inside, it's basically it's a Sheffield stand, isn't it? Under a big kind of semicircular bit of metal.
That'll do. See the pictures online. Yeah, I mean, what's different about this one is, one, it's instead of being accessed from the footway, where you have to first find your way onto the footway, and if you're riding a non-standard cycle, and particularly if you're a disabled cyclist, you're going to need to find a drop curb first to then get onto the footway, to then manoeuvre yourself, then back down onto the street, which is where the cycle would actually live inside the hangar. This is much better. It's actually accessed from the carriageway. So you can cycle to it from the road where you've just cycled. The opening and closing mechanism may or may not work for a disabled cyclist, but we've been talking to the manufacturers about adapting that. And then you have a lot of space inside. At the moment, for this one, they've only got two floor anchors, but that may or may not work for a disabled cyclist. But because this is a residential setup, it will only be for the people who are specifically hiring it in this area. So if it was for a disabled cyclist, the council could ask the manufacturers to slightly adapt it, but it's very easily adaptable. One of the keys to it is being accessible from the carriageway. Yeah, we're going to need many, many more, and we need councils to be speccing them, because that's what will encourage the manufacturers to come up with the research and innovation that they need to meet more and more people's different needs.
By specking, what do you mean?
Well, in their specification for, a particular... before a council contracts a retailer of these products, they'll have spent lots of time devising a specification for what it is that they need in this borough, in this council. Unless they put a specification that includes the provision of non-standard cycles and storage for non-standard cycles, cargos and others, the manufacturers don't have the incentive to design them, because they're designing them for the market. The market is mainly led by boroughs who have the funding. It's very rarely that it's an individual buying these products. It's generally local authorities.
Yeah, so the councils need to understand the variety that's out there.
Absolutely. And, of course, at the moment, there aren't hundreds and thousands of non-standard cycles being owned by people, but it's a vicious circle. If there's no accessible parking, storage, you can't invest, because you're not going to be able to store it.
Yeah.
Once you know that it's going to be available if you need it, then you're more likely to then go and invest, and then the market will meet the demand.
Yeah.
But councils need to be creating that demand by putting in their specification that providers of cycle hangers need to be able to offer non-standard cycle hangers.
Yeah, and but there's a sort of target for 5% of all parking to have an accessible, provision, basically. Is that going to be enough?
I think if we got to that, that would be an amazing start. And just like with, for that to become a virtuous circle, we need to be more visible. There need to be more of us visible on the street for other people to go, oh, wow, I never thought this was possible. Once it's like the cargo, the family cycles at the moment, you're starting to see with all the lower traffic areas, etc., you're starting to see many more people going to school, going to the shops, etc., on their cargo cycles. That generates more interest, that generates more demand, that generates the that starts to bring the prices down eventually. Yeah. It's a big virtuous circle.
Yeah.
But yes, it's we need the councils to understand. And I'm not saying that every single hangar is going to need to include an accessible, it's going to need to be accessible. The majority of the demand is going to remain a demand from bicycle users, yeah. and that's totally as it should be. And the local authority needs to have systems in place to say, if in their application form for a hangar, whatever, they need to be offering in their drop down or whatever menu to say what type of cycle do you not make the assumption it's going to be a bicycle, yeah. offer people the way to demand to ask to request for a non-standard cycle. So it probably will end up very soon that 5% of the demand will be for a non-standard, and if it gets to more than that, then brilliant, you know, we'll start needing to get more into the standards. But at the moment 5%, if we got to that, would be amazing.
Yeah. Great. Thank you, Isabel.
You're very welcome. Lovely to see you, Laura.
Lovely to see you. Happy cycling.
Thank you.
So we've got Alex Treadwick from Carry Me Bikes. And there's a lady here who's interested in cargo bikes, I think. Can you tell us who you are for my podcast and what your interest in cargo bikes is?
My name is Fakir. Yeah. And I am interested in cargo bikes to take the children to school and back. I've got two kids. One is 9,
yes.
Gabriel, and 6, Jonah. That's my husband, Alessio, that's supporting me today to come here and have a go. And I tried the first one, 43, it's called.
Yeah, the bike 43.
43, is that 43? It's very light and it's very easy to stop and start.
Yeah.
So I think my idea at the beginning before I tried that one is that I think you have to push too hard and having 2 children and I thought it'd be heavy, but I think it's got the electric charger, so it's a lot easier,
nice.
More than I expected. Also the brake is very easy.
Good.
It lets you know you're braking.
Gives you confidence. Yeah. And so Alex, just to give some background, Alex at Carry Me Bikes, your business is, or your community interest, is it CIC? Yeah, community interest. And what does the C stand for in community interest?
Community interest company.
Yeah. And you basically have a fleet of cargo bikes and then you loan them out to people so that they can try. People like Fakir here, who to try out bikes so that they can understand like what might work for them, what they prefer to ride. And so this is your business. Yes.
Yeah, this is my business. I set it up quite a long time ago now. The years have flown by and it's grown and grown.
It's been a while.
Yeah. And essentially we sell cargo bikes and we also do try before you buy, because there's a lot of people who are very anxious about it, very nervous.
Yeah.
Carrying like 2 children on a bike is really quite a thing in London. You know, you've got to be safe, you've got to feel confident. So we've got lots of different cargo bikes. Most of them are electric assist now, but sometimes we do sell them without. Sometimes there's some really hardcore people who just want to use their legs,
strong legs,
which is great. But yeah, we also do community work. So we've done lots of projects like the Family Cycling Library and the Mums and Babes by Bike project. So we're not just a bike shop, but we just do cargo. So we just do precious human cargo in the bikes, little children, and cargo for business. That's what we do. We specialise in that, and we're over in Hackney. So
great. And so, Fakir, do you live in this part of London? Is this why you've intercepted Alex here?
I live in Camden,
okay.
And I heard about this from Joyride.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've tried one and you liked it, and now there's Alex is sitting on this 3-wheeler, which you're going to try.
Yes.
Feels
a lot calmer for me because I can see the children.
Yeah.
The other one
had them on the back.
Yeah, but I didn't see. They were not on it because I was just trying. But yeah. Not seeing them, maybe.
Yeah.
Not so relaxing. Yeah. But this one I can see. Mm. I mean, they've grown now, so they probably enjoy. They can talk to me. They can. I can hear the voices.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's something I'm definitely. It's not just the school. Also, I think I just want to go around London on a bicycle.
And so why a cargo bike? Because, I mean, a lot of parents would just get a car and carry their kids around.
No,
but you
don't have a car. We do have a car, but it's. I think London, you can see it better on a cycle, and it's also the air in your face.
Yeah.
I think it's that it's just lighter. I think the car, when you go, it's a lot of stop and start, and so you could just go.
And are there safe routes in where you live in Camden?
I think the one I've noticed since I was been interested in the cargo one, parking, to leave the car outside.
Yeah.
I think that's the one, is the only one. But it's getting better.
So
the safe routes are getting better.
Yeah. Sorry, so so parking is a concern for you, like, if you bought one of these, because they're expensive, aren't they?
Yes, yeah, I think that there wasn't any near me. There wasn't any near the school. So it is the concern for parking.
So you'd like to see one of these cargo cycle hangers near you so you could use it?
Straight away, yes, today.
Yeah.
Because I've seen also some other family members near me that have this. They park it outside, but it's covered with all the bags so nobody can see it. And there's a lot of
faffing around,
covering it, tying it. And so, yeah, it's probably got some also tags on it. So it's... It just gives you the comfort that you can just turn up, park it, and can go. Also from the rain.
Mm. Yeah, because the covers would start to degrade in the weather, wouldn't they? And I guess it just keeps it. And you'd have to wipe down the seats and stuff. And if you've got kids on board, you have to wipe down all sorts of things you don't necessarily think about.
The bike that we have right now, because we leave it outside, it gets rusted all around here.
The handlebars.
So, yeah.
Ah, interesting. Is this a problem that you hear about a lot, Alex? Is this a barrier to people getting a cargo bike and keeping hold of one, the parking or lack of safe parking?
It's absolutely one of the biggest issues. So if you've got a family that's really keen on the idea of a cargo bike, they've got the money, they've got a way of paying for it, they've got the skills, they've got the confidence, then quite a few of them still go, do you know what, we just don't have anywhere secure to park it. And as Vakir was saying, you know, you can lock them on the street, you can lock a cover on them, but it's a lot of faffing about. You know, you've got small children, you just need to get in and go. It's got to be as easy as a car, really, or, you know. So yeah, it's a huge problem. And you know, theft is also, it's just becoming more and more of a problem. Don't want to put off people, but you have to be careful. And so it's really excellent to have this cycle hanger, which has been designed for cargo bikes, because families really need this help. You know, we've not set up London to, you know, to have secure parking for cargos, and so this is one step forward. So it's a huge problem. Yeah. I totally feel it's, you know, endless faffing. Is you know, families don't need more faffing. So if you've got something simple, you just open it up, pop it in, quickly lock it, shut it. Brilliant.
Mm. Yeah, it's kind of like a garage, isn't it? I mean, it doesn't take up. It takes up maybe the same size as a small car. It's kind of sideways on this one, so you roll it in from the road. You don't have to get up on the pavement. So, it seems like it's quite well designed. I think for kids, are you raring to go now? Are you like...
I think cycling is also for the well-being, you know, the mental health and trying... Friendship, I'm creating, I'm meeting people for joining Joy's Ride, and I am having a totally different people that I would not meet in my circle of activities. So it's that has a positive effect on me. And I'm also going on the 3rd of March.
The women's ride.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, and I'm actually advertising it to everyone. I do feel like I want to tell every time I see a cyclist, there is something in we are doing on the 3rd of March. But I'm sure they hear about it at some point. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. This is a new life for me. I have never ridden in London. The last time I rode in London when I was 14 or 15. Now I'm 40 something. So it's giving me the confidence by joining the Joyride and learning more about the bicycle, reading about the bicycle's activities, what it does for your body and mind. So,
it's fantastic.
For me. I'm enjoying it. Yeah, it's fantastic. It's fantastic.
Oh, well, thank lovely to much. Speak to you, and thank good luck you. On your cargo cycle journey. I hope you find your dream cargo bike and somewhere safe to store it.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Just going to loiter around the cargo hangar.
My name's Brooke, and I'm cycling with Wheels for Wellbeing.
Yeah. What do you think of it?
Lovely, very cosy. It's even got a light.
Yeah, it's even got a little solar-powered light, which is quite clever. I imagine if your street's not very well lit and you're trying to find your lock or something, because it's got these two floor anchors, it's quite useful. Well, nice to meet you.
Thanks very much.
Thanks.
I'm Charlie. I organise, I led the ride for Wheels Wellbeing.
Oh, nice.
I seen you tweeted one of our, where we passed a mural of, a suffragette?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Oh, there was Rosa May Billinghurst was a suffragette, and she rode a trike. She was in a wheelchair as well, and that's in the mural.
So
I took that picture.
Oh, yeah, that was you.
Yes.
Yeah. That's great, because that was around the time of
Yes, Brooke was in that picture.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Nice one. Because that was around the time of the photo library was launched.
Yes. I was putting in lots. I took lots of pictures, and
did you?
added lots. So yeah, if you saw the name Charlie Fernandez, that's my name. Yes.
I see. Yeah, there were some really, really great photos in there, because one of the issues with, well, it's about representation, isn't it? It's about showing different kinds of people on different kinds of cycles. It's really important.
Yeah, so it's important, I think, as well, that it shows that, because often there's this sort of perception that people who cycle are on two-wheel bikes, and then everything is all led to believe that sort of the environment is all built that way. So to have images that show that disabled people do cycle as well, and then also the types of cycles as well, so then it helps to create that sort of campaigning message that you need space for wider space. Give the message that disabled people are cycling as well. It's not only so I think that's
it's a wonderful thing. It's a great resource, really, really good resource, very important stuff. Well, nice to meet you.
Very nice to meet you too, Laura. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Tony's had an idea to try and get everyone, as many people as possible, into the hangar. Tony Lau from Cycle Hoop.
Hello.
You have to, like, bend or crouch.
Yeah, ceiling height's not great in the hangar, but, you know, it's cosy.
Yeah.
And, there's no wind.
No, that's true. If it were raining, we'd be dry,
You could have, like, a little table here and you could, you know, have a romantic dinner. I think some people are coming in. Come join us.
In the gutter.
Come on.
This is.
Yeah, so many people that can get in it.
But at the moment, it's just two. No one else has bought into this crazy idea.
Come on, Dave, go on, ask some people.
Oh, get some more.
So, this is your creation.
It's like Moby Dick, and we've been swallowed by Moby the cargo hanger.
So, it's like the bike hangers that you see all over London, but it's bigger.
Yep. Narrow but longer, so probably isn't that much bigger, but it's designed to fit two, although we just fit three cargo bikes. So eventually two, it kind of goes 90 degrees along the road, so that you come in from the road, not from the pavement.
Yeah, the regular cargo bikes, their hangers, you get in from the pavement, which makes sense if you've got a two-wheeler, but this one you get in from the road, which makes sense if you've got a big heavy thing and you don't want to, like, bump it up onto the curb.
It's all about making cargo bike parking easier and more secure, because, you know, we know it's a big problem. If you've got a big cargo bike, they're really expensive, they're much more expensive than a normal bike, and the last thing you want is for it to be stolen.
Because I was looking up price ranges of cargo bikes, ranges from about 2,000 slightly over to 8,000 or more.
It's like a little, like a second-hand car.
More than I ever paid for a car.
Exactly. And cargo bikes are great, and, you know, it helps. It replaces the car for sure. Talking to Alex from Carry Me Bikes, a lot of our customers have bikes stolen. It's now being targeted by thieves. So, yeah, definitely need to keep it inside or inside a hangar.
Is that where the impetus for this thing came from? It's a rise in, one, cargo cycles, and rise in theft too.
Yeah, I mean, when I started Cycle Hoop, that was when I had my bike stolen, so we designed the Cycle Hoop, and the hangar came about because we needed something more secure that could enclose it. And quite naturally, we needed something bigger because, people don't just ride normal bikes. People ride non-standard bikes, bikes for disabled people. And some of these bikes are long or wide, so we needed a solution. So this is how it came about with the cargo bike hanger.
And, because you started Cycle Hoop because you had your bike stolen. It's very upsetting. I had my bike stolen recently, so I remembered the upsettingness of it. But if you've got a cargo bike, it's like a huge amount of money to lose. And I guess it's like a barrier to people taking up buying a cargo bike in the first place. So
where was your bike stolen?
It was at Aldgate. It was from a regular bike rack.
You didn't have it in the bike hanger, or?
No, I don't. There's no bike hangers in my world. I live in Newham, for one. We don't really have bike hangers.
There were some bike hangers outside which you can just use and test, which we do have in Glasgow. So we have on-demand bike hangers.
Right.
So you can use the app, our Cycle Hoop app, and you can find the nearest bike hanger, see if it's empty, and then pay, you know, very cheap, about 25p to park your bike inside. And that's how that's being trialled in Glasgow. So hopefully we get them in London as well.
Yeah, it's a really good idea because it's happened several times. I go to a place and I work. Don't shut us in. What happens if you get shut in?
You have to call.
Oh, shit, really? To call you?
They'd have to have the key to lock us in, so normally that doesn't happen.
Okay, that's good. Someone didn't see us and they tried to close the door. Should we get out? Our ankles are hurting now. Yeah, that was fun. These are literally all over London. I was telling you, I sent you a little screenshot of a disaster movie set in London, and there's like a bike hanger, and there's like cars piled up on the street, and they're like, there's like the bike hanger still standing. It's kind of cool, but they're everywhere.
Yeah, we love seeing our products in movies because it's quite fun. I think there was one with Brad Pitt, and he was being chased by someone, and there was a cycle loop in the background. I'm sure there's like a Victorian movie set, you know, in London, and then they managed to leave a cycle hoop inside.
Because they look like little jug handles. The original cycle hoop is like little jug handles, isn't it?
Yeah, I think maybe back in 1800s they've been used for horses and things, so it would be like a horse hoop. And maybe in like 100 years' time it'll be used for, I don't know, your hoverboard.
Yeah, nice one. Thanks, Tony.
Thank you.
Karina Fussell, you are
on the steering group for the London Cycling Campaign Women's Network. We're doing quite a lot of stuff at the moment. We've been busy launching our survey. We did a survey last year about what stops women cycling in London, which has had a massive, massive response. It's been brilliant.
Yeah, it was really shocking, actually, the level of abuse that women reported experiencing on the road.
9 out of 10 women in the survey, and we had over 1,000 responses. 9 out of 10 women said that they had experienced some form of abuse while they were cycling, and something like 68% of those said it happened on a regular basis. It's just horrible. I mean, I think it's one of those things that you, when you look at it as a statistic, it's really shocking. But when you think about it based on your own experience, you think, well, actually, it's not really that surprising.
Yeah, and it's hard to know how much of it's kind of gendered, but or how much of it, I mean, it's not okay either way, but some of it's clear, some of the language that people, women were reporting experiencing was very clearly gendered.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we addressed that in the when we launched the report, that obviously we know it's not just about women getting abused, but there was definitely a lot of specifically gendered abuse, and I think women were more likely to get the abuse because they're maybe less confident and weren't hanging around, you know. But I think a lot of the men brush it off more, and I think experienced female cyclists brush it off. But it's the sort of thing that would put people off if you're new to cycling.
Yeah, it would.
You know, we had stories of people who had stopped cycling because of things that they'd experienced, or stopped cycling for a long period of time, or, you know, it really does affect people, and I think that's, you know, it can't be understated. And Sophie Linden, the deputy mayor for policing and something else, can't remember, sorry.
And a big part of her portfolio, she's police. She's
police. Is one of her,
yeah. And she's particularly interested in abuse of women.
So she's got, they've been doing a lot of work on the violence against women and girls. And she said, you know, this, it reflects what we're seeing, you know, across the board. But she said that cycling had seemed to amplify that. And I guess it's because it puts women in a more prominent position, maybe, that's why, you know, why the abuse levels are higher. But it's shocking, absolutely shocking.
Amazing. And on a happier note, you have a cycle hoop at home, don't you?
Yes. I think we were one of the first ones in Newham, actually. And so we've had it for about 4 or 5 years now, I think. And it's brilliant. It's so handy to have it, you know, makes the commute much easier because you don't have to keep traipsing the bike in and out of the house, and it's fantastic. And if we could get a cycle, a cargo bike one as well, I think that would be great. We've got lots of people are starting to ride cargo bikes in Newham.
Yeah.
And I think other councils really need to catch up with this sort of thing. This is amazing, and you know, the fact that it's so fully accessible to adapted bikes is brilliant.
Yeah, because you've got a cargo bike in your house, haven't you?
We have. Yeah, my partner uses a cargo bike for her gardening job. At the moment, it's in the front garden, and that's fine. But other people don't have that option, and I think it's one of the things that puts people off having a cargo bike. I think a lot of people love the idea but are just worried about where to keep it, and I think, you know, more of these would definitely make a difference.
Good. Thanks, Karina.
Mariam Dreyer, CEO of Joy Riders.
Yes. And we met actually while you were riding your long tail, which is a kind of cargo bike, along the cycle superhighway. And that's so cool. There's a Muslim woman riding a cargo bike.
Yes, and we bonded over bad drivers, isn't it?
Yeah. It's very cool. Anyway, we had a nice ride together, and then we realised we knew each other through social media.
Yes, absolutely. So yeah. I think the cycling world is really small. There's always someone who knows someone.
You've come up to support the cargo bike hangar. Where do you keep yours?
So I live in a flat on top of a shop, and the shop kindly lets me keep it in overnight.
Oh, no way.
Which is really kind, but otherwise I would struggle because it's heavy to bring up. And I actually have a space in a normal standard cargo bike hanger, but because the handlebars are quite high and I have a basket on the front, it doesn't fit in there. So I could take the basket up, obviously, but it's a bit of a faff every day. So it's very difficult. And even not all standard bikes don't fit in the standard cycle hangers.
Right, yeah.
So I think this is really fantastic. It's amazing. We just need more of them.
Yeah. Are you in Newham?
No, I'm in Waltham Forest.
Oh, lucky you. So you've maybe got a chance of getting one of these.
Well, it's a long wait. It's a long wait. So for my standard cycle hanger, I waited 1 year.
They're in such demand. They just can't seem to make enough, can they?
No. And there's a lot of consultation with local, with the residents and stuff, and they all have to agree to it. So it's not like the council who decides that they just put it down. It's really, and it's not just demand. It really depends on the people who are your neighbours, and they can veto it, and then they have to respect that. So it's quite difficult to get them into place.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Streets Ahead. Our editor has been Claire Mansell. Let us know what you think at Pod Streets Ahead. Rate us and review us and share the podcast with anyone you think might enjoy it. You can now also become a supporter of Streets Ahead on Patreon. Links for that and many of the things we've discussed in this episode are in the show notes. Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.